to the Profit Business Cast, Canada's podcast for innovative entrepreneurs and executives. Here are your hosts, Robert Gold and Andrew Brown.
Once again, from high atop the Business Cast Podcast Center in Toronto, live and in the morning, we're way up in the sky. I can see an approaching Soyuz spacecraft. I'm Robert Gold, Managing Partner of Benecol LLP, Chartered Accountants in Toronto. Really excited to let you know that today our special guest is Chris Hadfield, ISS Commander, Canadian astronaut, and author of the bestseller, An Astronaut's Guide to Life on Earth. Chris, welcome to the Profit Business Cast.
Robert, I'm really delighted to be joining you. Thanks very much.
And I'm so excited to have you. Chris, this podcast is produced in partnership with Profit Magazine and ProfitGuide.com. First of all, your book, An Astronaut's Guide to Life on Earth. It's tremendous. It's a great read. I'm a huge fan of space travel, space exploration. So this got me right to the core. Let me just ask you, the inspiration for the book. I know you've been asked this question before, but let's tell our national audience, what possessed you to try and put down your thoughts on A Guide to Life on Earth?
As an astronaut, you're extremely busy doing the core of your job, which is trying to make space flight more productive and safer. That's what it's all about, how to successfully get people to space and back and then take advantage of the experience. A large part of what an astronaut does, of course, is focusing on the core of the job, which is to make space flight safer and more productive, more efficient for other astronauts who follow. But another part of the job is to speak to students primarily around the world. And in my case, being one of the very few Canadian astronauts, I did a lot, like all of us do. I've spoken in literally thousands of schools across Canada, coast to coast to coast. And what I learned a long time ago was it's good to tell space stories, and there are lots of interesting space stories that will get people's attention. But what really matters is, how is this relevant? How does this affect life on Earth? Why would a student care? Apart from the entertainment side of it, it's fun telling a story of a live snake in the cockpit of your airplane or being blind during a spacewalk. You know, some interesting stories, or living on the bottom of the ocean. But how does it matter? And what I tried to do in all of those talks over the years was to use the space stories, talk about them in order to illuminate and help people start to realize how this has relevance into normal everyday life, both in the technological side, but also at a personal level. How is there anything useful out of this? And so it just made sense as my career moved along to eventually try and write it down, to try and capture some of the ideas. It's sort of like when you exaggerate something with a microscope, you can see things that you might not have seen otherwise. And the life of an astronaut is sort of exaggerated. It's a real extreme demand that is put on it. And so the name of the book was deliberately chosen, An Astronaut's Guide to Life on Earth, because that's where it really matters. And I tried to tailor the book, to write the book, so it really was something useful to people, that it was not only interesting stories of things that happened, but also hopefully something worthwhile out of it that people could then use practically in regular life.
Well, now we want to focus you, our audience across Canada, our entrepreneurs, small business owners, medium business managers, etc. We want to focus you, Chris, on bringing some of your guide to life on Earth to the business market. And the best way that we can do that is let's put you in a business scenario. So let's go that route. Tomorrow, Chris, you're going out and starting a business. What kind of business would it be and why?
Well, the absolute fundamental precept of everything in order to be successful in spaceflight is founded on competence, on truly having done the homework in advance to have gained the personal competence so that everything else can build off of that. If you are the progenitor of something, if you're the commander or you're the decision maker and you have not laid the initial competence, everything else is going to fall apart afterwards. The very step in setting up a business then, of course, is going to be to do the homework in advance, to not rely on good intentions and hopes, but to do the work and make sure that the product that you're hoping to bring to market or the skill that you're hoping to bring to market will have the greatest chance of success because you've worked on it in advance.
So, Chris, what business would you begin tomorrow?
Because I have not thought about it prior to you guys asking me this question, I am not starting a business tomorrow because I'm not going to jump into something that I'm unready for. If I were going to start a business, it's going to be based on an area that I have expertise in, an area that I have some part of the market that other people don't have either the expertise or the skill that I do. So I could do something very simple, which would be, in my case, a consulting business, where I am going to set up Hadfield Consulting based on the skills that I have and the experience base that I've gathered over the last quarter century, and then be able to target it towards specific people that would then, I think, be able to benefit from it so that it becomes mutually profitable to everyone.
Well, that's perfect. Now we have the venture Hadfield Consulting. So, Chris, what assumptions are you going to make about the market that you're entering?
None. I'm not an assumption maker. And the reason is, as an astronaut, and it's very carefully laid out in the book also, if you assume something where you didn't have to, then you'll die. You will go down in flames. An astronaut who just makes assumptions about how things are going to turn out is going to be put in a situation where it is mission critical and time critical, and you don't have time to figure it out when these actual events happen. So the way that we are successful in doing something that is life-threatening and is also unprecedented, which is very much a factor of life as an astronaut, is to really excruciatingly sweat the small stuff in advance. Not to the point of self-destruction, but to the point of spending the time running simulations and visualizing failure over and over again until we have figured out all of the probable ways that this particular plan, whether it's a business model or a rocket launch or installing a new piece of something onto the space station, so that we have visualized all the modes that we think it can fail, and then also figure out what we're going to be able to do under those circumstances to then be able to succeed.
Well, I know Andrew's got a question, but I just wanted to build on that for 1 second. Sweat the small stuff. In the book, you have a line that I like to preach to our clients, and that is sweat the small stuff without letting anyone see you sweat.
The truth. Well, that's why you want to do your sweating in the privacy of your own room in advance, so that by the time the opportunity comes along, you have already sweated it, so that you can actually come into the meeting or come into the event itself with a calm and a confidence, because you haven't waited until the actual problem arises before you've started sweating the small stuff.
So, Chris, let's go back to that business again, the Hadfield Consulting that you're starting tomorrow. What kind of product or service? It almost sounds like you would be inclined to bring risk mitigation or worst-case scenario kinds of services to a market. Would that be the kind of product or service that you'd be bringing?
I think it would probably be threefold, and I would need to do a little more careful market study to decide which one makes the most sense. But the one you mentioned, of course, is a clear one, and that's used all the time in the space business itself, in aerospace. How do you set up a test program? How do you set up a satellite that's going to be serviced for follow-on vehicles? I mean, the Chinese right now, they've already launched a rover to go to the moon, and they're working towards setting up a habitable base on the moon. Canada is putting out its new next long-term space plan, and they're looking at a bunch of different options for what should make sense for Canada to do next. And the risk mitigation side of that is important. Another side is in negotiating with international teams and how to conciliate and how to get people to agree on something in extremely complex, high consequence, multinational organizations like I've been doing for the last 20 years. I was NASA's director of operations in Russia for a few years and worked as chief of space station operations. The ability to listen to all of the different cultures working together and attempt to bring people together to a conclusion or to a recommendation, or at least an incremental one, I think is a strength of area as well. And then the third would be an expert witness as well, in that I have worked in the aerospace industry as a fighter pilot and then a test pilot and then an astronaut for many years. And I have very deep expertise in aerospace and understanding the practicalities of the risks involved and a deep expertise in the technical side of things. So if I were setting up this business, those are probably the three areas I'd initially concentrate on and see what opportunities are out there.
Well, Chris, one of the problems that our clients and the entrepreneurs that Andrew and I consult with across the country, one of the problems they continually run into is the availability of skilled people. Now, in Hadfield Consulting, you're going to be relying on people to do research for you, to transport you, to do analysis, to bring you the information that you need from wherever it comes from. I know you don't like to make assumptions. So what is it you're going to be looking for so that you can rely on these people, and what will you assume about their involvement in your project?
Maybe two concrete things and one kind of whimsical thing. The easiest concrete thing to look at is education and proven track record. You look at their previous employer, recommendations from the employer, you look at what education level they have and how do they look on paper. And that's got to be a basic requirement. Look for someone who's got those particular set of skills. And then, I'm not telling anybody anything new here, but talking to them and interviewing them face-to-face, putting a voice and a mannerism with the person themselves and making sure that they are who they seem to be on paper. But you know, the third thing thing that I've learned over the years is to hire lucky people. If they have a proven track record of being lucky, it's probably for a good reason, and it can supersede the other two. When I've been responsible for hiring people in the various jobs that I've had through the space business, it's really nice to be able to look for someone who has had good turns of fate, things that have happened to them seemingly through luck, that are almost always an indicator of the right combination of both raw talent and tenacity and skill, such that they have a proven lucky track record. So those are the three main things I'm looking for. And then the last part is that they will fit into the organization. You can bring in all the skills you want, but if that person's a poison pill within your particular set of real personalities, then you're probably going to do yourself more harm than good. That person needs to fit the mold that's already being constructed.
Given that the type of business that Hatfield Enterprises would be, the care that you would give to bring people on board, what do you still see as going to be your three biggest obstacles to success?
And we're all speaking hypothetically here, but initially, cash flow. How are you going to be able to set up the structure and the ability to respond and the freedom of schedule so that you can still maintain everything, pay everybody's wages, keep things going, arrive in the places you need to, wearing the clothes you need to be wearing when you're just getting something started from scratch. And so therefore, you need to either have your own financing or borrow it from somebody else. So that's going to be an initial problem. The second will be, of course, how to let people know that you're available and make sure that you're addressing yourself to the areas that you might be most useful. And so advertising initially, whether it's just word of mouth, whether you can rely on one major contract through some sort of contact or something to get yourself going, that's going to be probably the second biggest part. The third, and I'm guessing here, and this is all hypothetical, but I think it's going to be to avoid the sacrifice of everything else. How do you not overcommit when you're leaping hands and feet or everything into the first steps of something that is really important to you? And by overcommit, I mean dig so far into it, invest yourself in it so much in time that's non-sustainable, that it's not sustainable for you and your expectation of the people around you. How do you balance those three things initially? Because this project that you guys have asked me to come up with here spontaneously, we're not building widgets. We're not having to deal with supply chains and such. This is purely human capital. And so I think those three things end up rising to the top.
Well, Chris, I'm glad you opened the door on supply chains, because given your NASA and your ISS and your test pilot experience, everything is supply chain related. You guys work with a zillion small parts, moving parts, and reliance on the chain to deliver on time and in time. So if you were going to step back and say, I have to ensure my success, I've got to connect all the dots and make it work, what is the one item you would like to leave us with that you would do to ensure the success, supply chain or otherwise, of Hatfield Consultants?
Of course, for NASA, it's a huge hydra of a problem. But in this particular business model that we're hypothetically discussing, I think it actually dovetails nicely with the book. And that is, you have set yourself a long-term objective in this business. You know, you're going to set up whatever, Hatfield Consulting. You're going to do those things we talked about. You're going to hire the people that you need. They're going to be the people that you want. You're not going to overcommit. But you are going to enjoy the ride that is going along. And I think in this case, because the product is people, the supply chain is the continued enjoyment and celebration of the things that are happening along the way. Each of the people that is involved with the business has to both believe in the long-term objective of what's happening and get it reinforced to them all the time, but then they also need to enjoy the process by which we're getting there. Because if the only part of the enjoyment in the big supply chain of human capital here is some end game 3 years from now when everyone gets a dividend or something, the actual life that goes into building it is going to be where we live. That's the actual lives that are being involved with this, and there's no guarantee that you're going to get to where you expect to be 3 years from now. And so if we're going to set up this business and we're going to all work together, I want to make sure that the supply chain gives everybody satisfaction on a daily and weekly basis as much as possible in our pursuit of some long-term goal together.
And there's one last comment that I want to make on this show. And Chris, you are coming back for a follow-up show, but that final thought is, and again, it's from your book, An Astronaut's Guide to Life on Earth. There's nothing more important than what you're doing right now. Chris Hatfield, ISS Commander, Canadian astronaut, author, An Astronaut's Guide to Life on Earth, available everywhere around the world. Thank you, Chris, for being a guest on the Profit Business Cast.
Robert, Andrew, thank you very much. Great to talk with you both.
And until next time, I'm Robert Gold, Managing Partner of Benegold LLP, Chartered Accountants in Toronto. If you want to take your business to the stars, reach out to me, Robert, at businesscast.ca.
And I'm Andrew Brown, President of Right on the Money, and you can reach me at andrew@businesscast.ca.
And you can find other great episodes of the Profit Business Cast at profitguide.com. See you next time. In the morning, everyone, take your protein pills and put your helmets on.